Is it really interesting to see how these companies are approaching Chicago, right?
She was telling me she's really trying to understand how the tech ecosystem here works.
What's interesting about the baby boomers is that they've never met a debt they didn't like.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
It's 1210. Welcome to the Work Week. Steve Bertrand here with the Monday edition of the Wintrust Business Lunch. Thanks very much for tuning in. Tech companies are in the news today. I think 40 or more attorneys general around the country will announce a lawsuit against Google a little bit later in the day. Uber was making news in Chicago earlier this morning. And to help explain all of that, Jim Dahlke is here, senior editor at Chicago Inno. Catherine Davis, an associate editor, joins us as well. Welcome back to both of you.
Hey, Steve.
Okay, so we talk a lot on this show about how Chicago is a logistics hub, you know, that they really are leading the way. Because I think that's one of those kind of under the radar for a lot of people. But now maybe this will change that. People will be a little more aware, right? Uber's here for logistics.
That's right. So, you know, it seems like every week that we're here, we're kind of telling you about a new Silicon Valley company that's expanding into Chicago, adding jobs, whether it's on the tech side or the sales side. And Uber's announcement today is really, I mean, among the most significant Silicon Valley expansions that Chicago has seen, I think, in recent years. And so the news today is that they're going to plan to hire over 2,000 new folks over the next 3 years, really focused on their Uber Freight division. So this is kind of their trucking logistics arm of what Uber does, kind of connecting truck drivers to available shipments.
And Catherine, this just shows, right, that they've got confidence in Chicago, or what is it that brought them? And they're coming to the old post office, which is going to be just a really cool place to be, I think, in a year or two.
Right, absolutely. You know, the thing is Uber already has 1,000 employees here in Chicago. They have a pretty big, you know, presence outside of Silicon Valley. And I think, you know, kind of what other tech companies have seen in Chicago, like Salesforce or Google that have also expanded here, Uber is recognizing that, you know, this is a real tech town. There's talent available. There's, you know, I mean, I guess in Uber's case, they're not really looking for venture capital per se, but, you know, there's these tech and startup resources in the city that help foster innovation.
And it's not just here, right? They're growing in Dallas, too. They announced a big hire.
Yeah, they have a big hub opening up in Dallas shortly, too. And so, you know, Uber really kind of zeroing in as is now several months after, you know, kind of going public and being now actually officially traded on the public market, you know, finding these markets where it can kind of really double down on growth. And freight is one of its fastest growing verticals.
Well, I was going to say, how big is this Uber Freight?
Freight's a big deal. So, I mean,
how does it work? So if I've got butter that needs to be shipped, I would go to Uber Freight. And
so basically, it works on a couple different ways. One, it allows you, if you're a truck driver, it kind of allows you to freelance a little bit. So you can kind of look for available trucking shifts into where you can do some long-haul truck driving as a driver. It allows companies themselves, like they work with AB InBev, for example, to kind of list available kind of long-haul trucking shifts that drivers can sign up for. So in some ways, it's kind of similar to Uber, and it kind of gives you this mobile interface to hail a ride, except for hailing a ride, you're hailing, you know, a shift to be a truck driver.
So you wouldn't be, if you wanted to ride home from the restaurant, you wouldn't have a semi pull up. We're not talking about that.
Not exactly. Yeah. But, you know, you mentioned it kind of earlier that, you know, Chicago is this logistics hub. And we're seeing that kind of on the old school side, but even in the new tech side, too. We have a lot of fast growing tech startups who are kind of operating within this logistics industry, whether it's Forkites. There's several kind of trucking logistics businesses here. So Uber, really the latest example of kind of doubling down on Chicago logistics tech.
Catherine wrote a piece on ConAgra and how they're trying to come up with the perfect snack.
That's right. So ConAgra announced last week that they're building an innovation center here in Chicago, over in River North, kind of near the Merchandise Mart.
Now, they're a Chicago company now, right?
That's right. They moved here from Omaha. And they have a big, you know, headquarters operating in the Merchandise Mart. And so this new innovation center is going to be kind of the place where they're concocting new snack brands. You know, we've talked about this before on the show about how we're seeing a trend towards, you know, healthier snacks. So you think RX Bar, you think Poppy Lou.
Right. You don't think I was going to say Jiffy Lube. That's not it. Jiffy Pop.
Yeah.
Right? ConAgra makes Jiffy Pop, don't they?
Exactly. Yeah. They have a lot of those, you know, popular snack brands that we're used to seeing in the grocery store. But they're looking for, you know, kind of the new snack brand that's really going to entice a new audience and a new set of customers.
So are they looking for tasters? Could we go over there and volunteer to taste?
So I'm not sure if you can volunteer right now, but the idea with the space is that it's going to be very inviting and that they want some of their consumers to come in and give them feedback on some of the new products that they're making.
So this is a big company trying to come up with something on their own. Generally, we see these big companies buying up little companies like what happened with Kellogg and RX, right? Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't be surprised if we see that as well kind of on the Conagra side. It does feel like we're at this really interesting kind of turning point in the Americans, you know, snacking diets, right? So I think that the way that people think about, you know, loading up their pantry with snack foods is starting to change, and it's already been kind of changing, right? Whether, you know, kind of it's on the protein chip side or even on the hamburger side, right? Or if it's plant-based meat. So I think that Conagra wants to make sure that it's doing everything it can kind of on the R&D side to kind of stay current.
It's funny you say that because I spent the weekend in Wisconsin and had lunch at this place called, I think it was called Fitz's in Lodi. Mm-hmm. I think it was in Lodi, Wisconsin. You know, it's just a lakeside tavern bar, a restaurant, nicest place, but they had the Impossible Burger mm-hmm. or fake meat burger, you know, in a small town in Wisconsin. So it really is coming everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, it's, yeah, Impossible and Beyond Meat have kind of gone everywhere from the Burger King fast food menu to your kind of dive bar in Wisconsin, right? And I think that that does show you the range of
good people at Fitz's are listening.
Whether it's Fitz's or whoever else, right? So, like, but what I think it's showing you is that it's, you know, from your menu at your biggest fast food chain to a local mom and pop shop to everybody is kind of piquing their interest at this kind of new plant-based protein.
What are they going to come up with, Catherine? I mean, what's a healthy snack? We talk about beef jerky, is that it?
Well, the interesting thing is that Conagra actually did acquire Duke's Meats, which is, you know, they say they're making a healthy beef jerky product. So I think it'll be kind of a lot of, like, you know, healthier recreations of snacks that we love, right? Like, you know, you'd love a healthier Cheez-It or, you know, a healthier pretzel, things like that. I think we'll continue to see.
Swiss Miss, right? They make, will there be a healthier Swiss Miss cocoa powder?
Maybe.
See,
that would
be nice.
It
just
too.
Seems like when we're talking snacks that there's not a lot of wiggle room here. You know, they're just generally their
snacks. High protein Swiss Miss.
Variations of stuff that's already out there, right? But I mean, when you look at some of the other brands, like Tyson has a venture fund here based in Chicago that's investing in startups. Kraft Heinz doing the same thing. So we're seeing a lot of momentum kind of in the big CPG brands who want to make sure that they're either doing the R&D here in Chicago or investing in startups throughout the country, but having those funds based in the city.
Another kind of story we talk about a lot, company, is Cameo. Cameo just got a nice little ranking on LinkedIn, right?
That's right. So Cameo just popped on LinkedIn's list of the 50 hottest startups in the U.S. that came out last week, and kind of significant for a couple of reasons. But one of them is that it's the only one of the only companies in Middle America even on the list. So LinkedIn's list was almost entirely California and New York based. Only two companies outside the coast were on that list, Cameo
wow.
being one of them.
And Cameo, of course, is the company that matches you. Has celebrities on their roster, and they will wish you a happy birthday or create a video or cook a souffle with you or things like that.
That's right. I asked J.B. Pritzker a couple years ago, does Chicago need quote-unquote like sexy startups like Snapchat?
This would be one, wouldn't it?
He said yes. This helps elevate Chicago's profile, so whether you use Cameo or not, it's important to have kind of buzzy new startups that people across the country are interested in.
And it's probably because of what they do is why the people on the coast have heard about them, right?
Totally.
I mean, less the business, more the celebrity.
Exactly. And that's why people are relocating here to work for them. I mean, it's just kind of has a lot of wide-ranging positive effects to have a company like that in Chicago.
So, Dahlke, you wrote the story about Philo. And this is a case where when laws change, when the policy changes, companies start up in areas that you might not expect right away. So marijuana is going to be legal in the state. We know about the growers and the sellers. What about this company, Philo?
That's right. So Philo is a marketing tech platform for the cannabis industry. So specifically helping cannabis firms make sure that the digital marketing that they're sending out is being sent to legal recipients of that, right? So they're working on both the geographical issues and age restrictions.
So if it's legal in Illinois, not legal in Indiana, it might be illegal to advertise it in Indiana?
That's right, exactly. And so, you know, Philo is really working to help these cannabis companies avoid those big fines that come with some of those mistakes, right? If you are, you know, accidentally advertising in Indiana or, you know, a neighboring state where where cannabis isn't legal,
right,
you run into these regulation issues.
And so this company, so this is a new industry, obviously, but pot's been legal in many other states for many years now. Why are they just popping up this April?
That's right. So these guys are, you know, kind of previously with other businesses, kind of exited those companies and now are kind of starting a new marketing platform. So these are kind of folks who are in the marketing right. tech industry and now have kind of saw a new position. And they said, you know, that they would not be based in Chicago had Illinois not approved marijuana legalization come January 1 of next year.
And so they raised $16 million. They just opened up in April.
I mean, you know, we've been covering the tech scene in, for the last 5 years, 5.5 years in Chicago, and I can't remember a seed round, quote unquote, of funding of this high. $16 million for a company that's just several months old is really impressive, and it shows you the interest in this industry. It shows you how hot the marijuana industry is and how, you know, there's a lot of people who don't want to miss a gold rush, right? And so I think what we're seeing is there are a lot of industry players who see value in this platform. It probably shows you too that a lot of companies are getting dinged by these fines by having
right.
Facebook ads that, or you know, a digital ad that shows up in Wisconsin rather than Illinois. And so these guys are going to be able to kind of offer what they call as compliance as a service to make sure that all your ads are compliant on every state, regional, federal level.
All right, that's Philo, and they spell it and usually with an F, I think, right? FY?
Mm-hmm.
Philo. Okay. I think Lori Lightfoot had an event today with the Mom Project. Was Lori Lightfoot involved with that, where they're going to start talking about pregnant women on the CTA?
She may have been. So the Mom Project announced this announcement just last week. And so the Mom Project is a platform that predominantly helps women re-enter the workforce. So kind of looking at moms who maybe have left the workforce to raise a child and want to come back into the workforce, and they connect them with employers who help them kind of get sort of executive level roles and kind of re-enter the workforce.
We've had the CEO on before.
And they're kind of doing a new initiative right now around helping women get a seat on the CTA. And so they're handing out buttons in the loop starting tomorrow and kind of say baby on board, and they allow, you know, kind of jerks that have their head down on the bus right. kind of open up and realize, oh, wait, I need to give up my seat to a pregnant mom.
We had this conversation on the radio a couple of weeks ago about this movement. Is this that, or is this an additional effort, or how does that fit in with the city? Or CTA.
So I know that the CTA has been contemplating doing something like this as well, but this is a totally separate effort kind of from the Mom Project. So I think that, you know, what they were saying last week was that, you know, an expecting mom was kind of looking to kind of spearhead this, went to the CTA. They said, yeah, we're working on it, but it wasn't moving quite as quickly as maybe right. she was hoping. And so went to the Mom Project, who kind of jumped on it from the get-go.
And the Mom Project is a big deal, right? I mean, they talk about raising money. They've raised a lot of money, and they're seen as a real player in all of this.
Yeah, they raised $8 million last year, and their seed round was actually led by Initialize Capital, which is the Reddit co-founder's VC firm. And so they've definitely been making waves here.
That's Catherine Davis along with Jim Dahlke from Chicago Inno. Check out the Inno Minute on every morning on the opening bell. And also your daily newsletter. How do people get that?
Yep, the Beat newsletter is available on our site at chicagoinno.com.
Thanks, guys. Thanks very much, Jen DeSalvo. Steve Bertrand here. It's the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN, sponsored by Wintrust Chicago's Bank. So I think it was Thursday or Friday last week, I told you about our trip that Sharon and I are going to lead next year to Madrid and Paris. We'll stop at San Sebastian in northern Spain and then Bordeaux in southern France as well. It's a 10-day trip. We leave on May 1st. $4,800. So it's up on WGNradio.com now. But anyway, so I announced it last Friday, and we're about half filled already. So I hope you can join us. These trips always do sell out. But if you'd like to do it, you know, we always make great new friends on these trips. We see some pretty interesting things. I did not know that the bay at Bordeaux is actually a great oyster farm area. So we're going to sample some oysters and visit an oyster farm as well as wineries and things like that. Check out the information. It's at SteveBertrandTravel.com. Or you can email me, Steve@SteveBertrandTravel.com. Or even just give me a phone call, 847-606-6065. I'm sure we'll be advertising this a little more formally later, but, well, unless we fill it up before we need to, that happens more often than not. So give me a call or check it out. It's also at WGNradio.com. I hope you can join us. Elise Glink is on the phone line. She is the brains behind Best Money Moves and ThinkLink.com. Elise, welcome back to the Biz Lunch.
Nice to be here, Steve. And by the way, San Sebastian is really lovely. If you haven't been yet.
I just want to eat. I'm going to eat. We start in Madrid, two days in San Sebastian. And really, the food, right, is what, that's the big draw there.
Yeah, it's fantastic. All of those places are wonderful. It's going to be a great trip.
They always are great trips. And by the way, you're in line for a big award, right? The Chicago Innovation Awards. You're in competition.
We were nominated, and tomorrow night we're going to go to the Park West, a place I haven't been since I was in high school, I think, for the finalist announcement. So, well, fingers crossed. We hope we make it.
That's a very nice, just to be nominated is nice, but we certainly wish you well tomorrow. And maybe
thank you.
Bring back some nasty memories of those concerts you saw.
I'm hoping it's a better experience, frankly, but, you know, that was high school.
I think the last show I saw there was Michelle Shocked, which would have been in the early 90s.
Exactly.
Okay, so sort this out for me. You know, last week we heard that Facebook and Google were going to be sued, and there are all sorts of these different threats. Today, I think, is the day about 40 attorneys general from around the country announced a suit against Google. I just did a quick search. I can't, a Google search, by the way. I can't find any news on it yet. What do you know about it?
Well, I think the announcement is going to come a little bit later on this afternoon. Nearly every attorney general in the country has signed on to this antitrust investigation of Google. We've heard the president be very vocal that, you know, Google is against him and, you know, against the Republicans. Google denies this, denies that they need this antitrust policy. But I think there's just been a lot of confidence shaken with the way that Facebook and Google have unraveled in terms of, you know, in the face of different political elections here and around the world. And I think there's a lot of concern, so there's going to be a probe.
So is the accusation then that Google is directing consumers toward its own products at the expense of others, and that's the antitrust? Or what's the gist of that? Do you understand it yet?
We don't know specifically because it hasn't come out yet, but what they're alleging is that Google has abused its dominant position of search and that they don't give everybody a fair shake, and they're directing traffic to exactly where it's supposed to go as opposed to having it, you know, they want it to go where they profit supposedly the most, rather than having it be completely open. What's interesting about this is that it can't be long before Facebook, you know, gets pulled in for doing exactly the same thing. And then today, Apple, we find out that the vast majority of the most successful apps in the Apple App Center are Apple apps. And so they, too, are doing the same sorts of things. Amazon as well. And so you've got these massive digital companies, all of which appear to be serving their own interests first. I don't know why anybody's surprised by this, but there may be some legal ramifications.
Well, I was going to say, isn't that what a company is supposed to do, is to serve its own interest first?
And yes, but when you, you know, basically dominate a market, it's unfair competition. And
so
you know, when
the point
you know,
is,
80...
I was going to say, the
Go
point
ahead.
Is they're really doing two things then, right? They're helping with the search, which is one thing, but then they're also selling things, which is a second, and they've married the two, and that's why they're in trouble.
That's right. And so when you have this sort of, you know, and this has all happened very quickly. You know, it was one thing when the railroads became a, you know, a huge dominant marketplace owned by just a, you know, one or two huge giants, and prices skyrocketed. We haven't actually seen that here, but what we have seen over the last 20 years is an absolutely dominant force in search come up, and now that most of society has moved online, that search between regular Google search and YouTube, which is the second most popular search engine, also owned by Google, is a dominant marketplace that almost nobody may be able to overturn.
Are you good at negotiating salaries?
I think everybody could use a little work in that area.
It's so funny you say that because there are a couple of articles about women getting help in negotiating salaries, and it is a way to sort of narrow the pay gap, which sounds like a great idea. But I think probably most men are pretty bad at negotiating salaries too.
Men are better at it, and if they're not better at it, the assumption is that men know what they're doing, and so they get more maybe for asking for less or not asking for as much, although many do. And if you look at the research, and I've done some looking at this, it's really interesting to see that women really aren't negotiating hard enough. What they expect is that they'll be rewarded for all the effort they're putting in. And when it comes to business, that's just not how it works. You have to be able to step up and engage, with your superiors, show them all of the value that you've brought to the organization, and then ask for it back. But really, it starts right after college, right? Right after, when you're launching into that first big job, you have to negotiate as hard as you can for as big a salary and bonus and benefits as you can, because that's really what everything else gets built on.
Yeah. So, right, because so the higher you start, the further you go.
It is, and it's interesting. I was talking to a young woman who's just going to graduate college in the spring, and she's just accepted her launch job. And her mother, who's an executive at a different organization, pushed her along the way and said, nope, that's a great offer, but go back and ask for a signing bonus. Go back and ask for this. And that's exactly right. And you know what? She followed her mom's advice. She got an excellent salary with a signing bonus and lots of benefits and an agreement that she would be evaluated for a promotion in a year.
Elise Glink, check out bestmoneymoves.com, thinkglink.com as well. Thanks for joining us today. Appreciate it, Elise. We'll talk again soon.
It's a pleasure, Steve. Thank you.
It's the Wintrust Business Lunch here on 720 WGN.
Start the timer, because here's the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing and examining Chicago business news of the day. Ulta Beauty is the Illinois-based beauty product supplier, and they've seen a serious boost in business in recent years. But usually, if there's a buck to be made, someone might want to take advantage of that and cut some quarters. The SEC is looking into the former boyfriend of a high-level Ulta Beauty employee who allegedly made $100,000 in stock gains. Classic suit of insider trading right here. Just a reminder, kids, that's illegal. The employee told the friend about the business results before they were officially announced. He then invested on Wall Street, and the stock went up. Come on, guys, none of that. But this is something that could be coming to the city, a congestion tax. It could help chip away the massive budget deficit we're working with here in Chicago. It could also help cut back on traffic and pollution as well. Don't worry, it's not like we're going to have toll booths on Michigan Avenue, but there are a couple ways that cars could be charged. Most realistically, there would be cameras installed in the most congested parts of the city, cars would be connected to accounts, and then they would be charged. Either way, changes are coming, so keep an eye out in 2020. I'm Bennett Wakenight, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Thanks, Orion Samuelson. Steve Bertrand here. It's the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN, sponsored by Wintrust Chicago's Bank. Amy Guth is in the studio. Welcome back.
Hello.
Amy's the host of The Daily Gist, of course, and the U.S. News and World Report is out with its, is it just out or just within the past couple of days?
Yeah, I think? Just last couple of days. I love lists. Love a good list.
Ever since the internet, right? That's right. What really sells a page, or lists, or magazines too, I guess.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the college list, you know, it's out and we put so much emphasis on it, even though I think I know intellectually it doesn't matter. I've looked up all my family's schools to see where we rank. I'm number one. And
Bertrand, number one.
So Cranes did a piece on how local schools did, right?
Yeah.
And so what is the story, that the U of C slipped a bit?
Well, it slipped, but it kind of didn't, right? It slipped just a few spots. U of C held on to its perch at the top. It's still the top Illinois school, but it did slip a couple of spots. It fell three rungs to number six in a tie. I mean, here's the thing.
Right.
It's still in a tie with Stanford and the University of Pennsylvania. So it's not like it just became a garbage school or anything. You know, it's still pretty good, and it's still the top school in the state.
U of I is at 48, down from 46.
Then we start seeing some really big jumps that are kind of curious, right? So Loyola University Chicago is 104th. It was 89th last year. So that's a pretty big jump. IIT was 117th this year. Last year, 96.
So they're going in the right direction. Right?
No,
yeah.
No, yeah, they lost ground.
They were 107. Oh, you're right. I'm sorry.
Yeah, because if you're one, you want to be up. It's like
Let
golf.
Me take that back about bragging about my school.
So not math.
Right, not math. It was not math. Right. So we seem to be dropping here.
Yeah. So we're seeing a little bit of slipping there. And it's really interesting. I'm always fascinated of how they come up with this. I was talking with a Cranes reporter, the healthcare reporter, Stephanie Goldberg, about how hospitals are ranked, because it's really complicated algorithms of how they do this. And sometimes the littlest thing can throw it off when it's like they didn't do anything worse. Maybe someone else did something better, right, or the criteria changed. So for this, it's 15 different indicators of academic quality, retention, graduation rates, you know, like all this stuff that comes together. So it kind of could be like suddenly a bunch of people, you know, had a different kind of GPA. It could be like a lot of people suddenly are studying some different subject and not having as high a GPA as that many were, you know.
Well, as we all know, too, if you've gone on enough college tours, really all that matters is if there's a sushi bar in the dining hall.
Right. Is the campus cool?
You're talking about this on the Daily Gist. What else is on the list?
Yeah, you know, today I also talked with A.D. Quigg, who is the politics and government reporter, about this proposed congestion tax that a lot of people have been talking about. This idea, and Lightfoot talked about it a little bit this morning in a presser with some folks from Uber, and it's this idea of well, okay, there's this $838 million hole estimated in the 2020 budget. What if there was some kind of like rush hour tax or some kind of toll to access the very congested areas of downtown, certain parts of the day? So other AD looked at other cities that have done that to say, okay, what did London do? What's New York? Whatever, to see what that might look like here. Seems kind of ambitious.
Check it out in the Daily Gist. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks so much.